Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Greek philosopher Socrates said, "He is a man of courage who does not run away, but remains at his post and fights against the enemy." It's a rare quality, especially so when it comes to religious convictions that stem as far out into our everyday lives, particularly in our families and our careers. Our guest today has held fast to his faith in Jesus Christ amidst tumultuous times. And when you see him on television and hear him speak, it's beyond his eloquence, but the quality of character and the clarity that comes from one who is grounded in the Lord. And that's why today we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is to lead you, dear friend, to Jesus Christ. Simple and clear. For you to know that He loves you, He knows you, whatever it is that you're facing, whatever challenge it might be, however overwhelmed you might feel at this very moment, that nothing is so great, nothing is so daunting, that with Christ's help, you can overcome. He who died on the cross for your sins and mine and our guest, who shed His precious blood on that cross to wash our sins away, He who was buried and rose again from the grave, the living Christ, calls you to Himself. Would you put your trust in Him? Would you receive Him as your Lord and Savior? I mean, really, would you surrender your life to Him and let Him lead and guide you? He can take you out of the midst of despair and put you in a place full of hope, full of purpose, full of fulfillment. Tenari R. Maafala is no stranger to Hawaii. He's a proud Samoan, born and raised in Honolulu in both Nakatani and Mayor Wright's housing. He started his career with the Honolulu Police Department as an officer in 1989 and is still serving in that capacity today. In addition to his duties as an officer, he's an active volunteer and current president of the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers, SHOPO. In 1985, he received and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. He was embarrassed, ashamed for not loving and serving God as he felt he should have in his earlier years. But now, as you will soon hear, he's very grateful that he serves and honors a most loving, gracious, and forgiving Father. Tenari acknowledges that it is God who has pursued him all along and allowed him to receive Christ's love and mercy that he gives away today so freely. In his spare time, he enjoys basketball, football, golfing, and surfing. He also enjoys playing music, mostly gospel, Motown and R&B. He's been married to his beautiful wife and loving woman, Tracy, for 24 years. Tenari and Tracy are the proud parents to three daughters, Tiare, Tiani, and Tiana. Tenari, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you so very much. We give God the glory, honor, and praises first and foremost. And I thank you, Danny, for your loving and servant heart for our Father and for His kingdom. So thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
We're blessed. We're blessed to have you today, brother. Where did you grow up? I mentioned Nakatani and Mayor Wright's housing, but let's go deeper.
Yep. Born in Nakatani housing in Anakuli. And the latter years of my life, my whole family moved to Mayor Wright housing in Kalihi. And humble beginnings. And I wouldn't have it any other way. We might not be rich in monetary value, but rich in love and the grace of God.
What was it like?
It was tough. It was a very tough upbringing. And when I tell the stories to my daughters today, they say, "Dad, no way." You know, my parents were so poor that I share this story with everybody. My siblings and I, we would go to school, and we always looked forward to school year because we were able to, our lunches, what we did for our parents because we had no food. There were times when we would live on just rice and what we call lemon tea. We had a lemon tree in our backyard that we grew, would boil the lemon leaves to have flavor in the water, just add sugar. So there are months that we only survived on rice and lemon tea, me and my younger siblings. So would go to school just to give mom and dad some different food. We would save our milk carton, and if there was chicken or whatever it was served that day, we would stuff chicken in a carton and take it home so our parents could have something different other than just rice and lemon tea. And there were days that we would go to school with barefoot and lava lava and dad's white undershirt or wife beater shirts, they call it today. But those were very, very humble beginnings. And when I tell my daughters, I drove them out there because it's life lessons that my daughters need to understand, that you got to be very humble, be very thankful for what you have. But love conquers all. And like I always tell people, God first in all we do.
That's kind of a, I hear that from you. You know, that's a consistent drumbeat for you. And you live your life that way. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
My parents. Mom and dad, and that's a funny story too when I tell people. Mom and dad migrated from American Samoa in the mid-50s. So to this very day, you know, dad, God bless his soul, passed in 1985. But mom has been a widow since. But when mom and them first migrated over here, the one thing that they were very consistent on was no matter what, love God. But with that said, one day we'd be Catholics, which is pretty much a predominant religion back in Samoa. The next day we'd be a Mormon. The next day we'd be Jehovah's Witness. But the one thing that mom and dad always said, just love God no matter what. But looking back, and the reason why I see why my parents had us in that sense of being inconsistent as far as our religion and foundation, was more so we could get physically fed. Because these church groups would have potlucks. And that was just, you know, in hindsight, when I look back, I say, wow, mom and dad, thank you. But the one message that resonated for me and my siblings from back then was, no matter what, love God.
Tell me about your family, your siblings.
Again, mom and dad and six boys and four girls. God, you know, has his plans and has his ways. Like any other parent, it's so very difficult to lose your own child. You know, as parents, we would always want to say, hey, Lord, hopefully we go before our children. Mm-hmm. Like I said, mom lost dad in 85, then our younger brother Nick in 2000 to leukemia, and then my sister Lemomi, a younger sibling as well, in 2004. So mom had to endure that. So mom has always been the pillar of strength for our family. Mom is approaching 83. Mom, to this very day, is our prayer warrior. At 83, mom still fasts at least 3 days out of a week. And depending on the needs and circumstances of our family and even our neighbors and friends, mom would fast for at least a month at this very powerful age. So we know we're so thankful and God-centered, God-led, and God is the center of our family's life. So God has blessed us so much. All the boys, of course, growing up, it was always our dream to play professional athletics, albeit football, basketball, volleyball. But through all of us, Chris, the baby, was the only one that made it to the big league. And through him, God has blessed, obviously, his talents. And he bought mom and dad the first home that all siblings would want to ever do for their parents, mm-hmm. the house that mom resides in today. And Chris has flourished. He has four kids of his own. And like I said, God has blessed him financially. But Chris, too, he'll always defer all the glory, honor, and praise to our Heavenly Father for what he has today. And he's willing to give back. And that's always been what mom and dad have always taught us. Love God first, love your parents, love your siblings, and love your neighbors, and love everybody. Always give back. And today, amongst our siblings, we always share. And you know, all my brothers and sisters are rooted in Christ today as we speak. the one thing that we've always talked amongst ourselves, that our Heavenly Father blessed those who honor Him by putting the needs of others first. So it's all about others.
1985. Something happened. There came a point in your life, in your faith. Grew up in a home that put God first. But what happened in 1985 that was so pivotal?
Well, Dad passed away in 1985. But up until that point, although I was athletically blessed as my brothers were, but for some reason, I'm in the middle of the pack as far as the pecking order, as far as age. Something has always been on my heart that I would be the one to take care of my parents. So when my dad passed, I questioned my faith. Like, God, are you for real? And I was broken when my dad passed. And just a little history back then, and my dad knows he would probably be the one professing this before everybody and anybody to help people out with their situations at home. My dad was very abusive physically, and he was also an alcoholic. And he used to beat us up, even mom. And mom became that too. She was very abusive towards all of us. But at the end of the day, my father always loved us. So in 1985, losing my dad, that really broke me down a lot. And up to 1985, like I said earlier, mom and dad raised us to put God first. So I knew about God, but I didn't know God. So 1985 through Windward Baptist Church, under Pastor Glenn Riggs, who now is back in Florida, led me to know Christ. And that's when I truly understood and believe to this very day that everything will be okay.
The significance of that, even that last statement, just everything will be okay, is very profound, because it's not just a nice sounding string of words, but it comes from a heart that believes, but not believing in belief, right, but in whom you believe. There's a substance to it. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, Tenari, let's go back to that moment of what happened in the process. What did you begin to realize? What is it that in your heart began to quicken and sort of galvanize, where it became a strength of understanding, hey, this is not some far distant God that I respect or revere, but someone that I know and who knows me. When we come back from our break, you'll hear that and more from Tenari Maafala. It's one of those rare moments, you know, when you get to hear someone, a leader in our community, who continues to grow in stature, his platform, his influence, but he's grounded in Christ, grounded in his faith in the Lord, and he leads and speaks and makes decisions from that. How does a man like that tick? You'll hear more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Honolulu police officer and president of the State of Hawaii Organization of Police Officers, otherwise known as SHOPO. He's in studio with us today, and it's one of those unique moments where a man of God comes to be in studio to share heart to heart of the astonishing things that they have gone through, that he has gone through, but to bear witness of the grace and love and the mercy of Christ. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, and I'm speaking of Tanari Ma'afala. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad that you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now, you got to hear the first part of the program. You can get the podcast of this show in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. And as I typically do, don't only listen yourself. I want you to listen, of course, but share it with a family member or a friend. They will be blessed. Tanari, you grew up there in Nanakuli, Nakatani housing. How did you end up coming to Mayor Wright housing?
Well, one day, like I said earlier, my dad, you know, he was an alcoholic and he was a physical abuser. So one day he came home, he was all drunk, and, you know, dad at the time had a rifle and a 357 handgun, Magnum. And just for no reason, he beat all of us up. At that time, there was six of us, children and mom, and we were bleeding. I mean, sorry to be graphic, but I'm just trying to make it real here. There's nothing to hide, just being totally transparent in hopes of helping others out there, your listeners. So my dad lined us up on the porch and he started firing off rounds, you know, the rifle into the ceiling and his handgun along our legs while we're sitting there just trembling and screaming and just bleeding. So dad said, hey, I'm going to go back drink with the guys. If I come back, I'm going to kill you guys. So we were scrambling, you know, being poor, you know, we barely had coins around the house, but we scrambled. And thankfully, we had kind neighbors, you know, we knocked on their doors and hoped to get enough loose change so we could catch the bus to Marriott Housing, where my grandma, my mom's mom, resided at that time. So this is like the early 70s. So we caught the bus, and as bad as I was beaten, and my mom and my siblings, the worst day of my life was the next day when my dad, you know, he had come to get us and take us back home, and there's no way we were going to go back home. My dad got arrested. So I watched police officers take my dad down, handcuff him, and take him away. So that's why, Danny, you know, today, with all due respect to those who are claiming or trying to justify their actions in abusing their spouses and their children, and they attribute it to generational curses and sins, with all due respect, coming from the heart and speaking from what's biblical, especially in John 8:36, for he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And the Bible goes on to say, as Jesus Christ hung on a cross and as he thirsted, they raised a sponge so he could quench his thirst. And then before he took his last breath and his spirit ascended to heaven, he said, it is finished. It is finished. So today I encourage people, when God gives me the opportunity to give a testimony or share a message, that is the message. We should be walking and speaking victory. Generational curses and sins cannot and should not be used as an excuse to continue what we've endured back in the day. But flip that and use it as spiritual markers that we can look back at and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for delivering me from the pits of hell, if I could use that expression. But that's what it was like for me and my siblings then. But today, we look back and we hold nothing against my dad and my mom. And if I were to use that same excuse, then who am I today to be a police officer promoting no violence, no domestic violence, and yet I would be the one beating my wife up and my three daughters? No way. So today I give God all the honor, the glory, and praises for giving me those spiritual markers that I can look back at and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you to that spiritual marker, which is a spiritual gem today that I use in my walk for my family and for the families that God blessed me to be talking to and given the opportunity to share God with them.
Tonight, somebody listening today has they've been, as we say in Hawaii, bus up.
Yeah.
Or got dirty lickings.
Yes.
And they know what it's like to be where you are.
Right.
And they're struggling with that.
Yes.
They're struggling with, how can I forgive? And they're stuck there. How did you experience the ability, the power to forgive?
And again, not to sound religious here, but it's been God. God just being in our hearts the whole time. And throughout that whole time, we're still going to church. And we're blessed with people that God had put in our lives to teach us the gospel and the real meaning of love and forgiveness. And it is done. It is done. You know, when I hear people that saying that too, and the one thing that I share with them, when they come to me, oh, Brother T, this weekend I got bossed up by the devil. And I tell guys, hold on for a second. Who do you serve? Who's your father in heaven? Oh, God Almighty, tell, amen. Then you should be speaking and walking in victory. You can identify those challenges and thank God that he's given us his eyes, his hearts, his heart, and his ears to see the challenges that we face in life, temptation, the sins of the world. So identify the challenges, but don't glorify the devil. Give God the glory. So that boss up thing and whatnot, hey, first and foremost, always go to prayer. Seek God first and foremost. Yeah, and in man's law today, in the world today, there's that flip side. And I encourage anyone, man, woman, or child, if you're living in a household where you are getting abuse, there is laws that helps you. And I know it's so difficult, especially for a loved one, to be living in denial. You got to recognize that it is a problem, it is a disorder. If you love the person that is doing that, you truly love them, then you got to help them and go get help from those who can help you, albeit your pastor, your ministers at church, your accountable partners, and again, the law. You know, don't hesitate before it gets worse and it comes too late.
Tanar, you mentioned about a pastor. It takes me back to when you mentioned earlier about the pastor in Windward, Oahu, that took you in 1985 and just explained to you the meaning of the gospel. What was it about that experience? What happened in your heart that actually brought you to faith in Christ in the personal way that you live like today?
Well, it was very, very humbling. That was the first time I ever felt the Holy Spirit through Pastor Glenn Riggs. He sat me down and he showed me the scriptures.
This is Windward Baptist Church.
Yeah, Windward Baptist Church. And he showed me the scripture. And I believe Windward Baptist Church today is pastored by Pastor Kevin Akana, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he and I were members of the church at the time.
At that time.
God has blessed his walk and his spiritual journey with God. He's now the pastor there. But yeah, he sat me down and just doing service. And it broke me down. And I just felt so much peace and so much calm in my heart. And it made it clear. The Lord said, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Follow me. It'll be okay. Yes, there will be challenges, even more so as you draw nearer to me. But like I tell people today, would you rather suffer with God at your side or suffer alone? I'd rather suffer with God at my side.
Yeah.
You know, following his provisions and believing. Believing is the key. And I tell people, when it comes to God, you're either all in or you're in the way.
I hear you talk about a commitment that is all out for God. No more shame, no more hiding. When did that click? in you, and you say, you know, I'm gonna be open about my faith.
I would say about 3 years ago, when I felt a strong tugging at my heart, the Lord said, "Hey, playtime is over. Time to go to work." And it broke me down so hard at one of the services that the whole service, and my wife was standing next to me, telling me, "You okay?" I thought, "Babe, I'm okay. Just pray, pray for me, pray with me." And it was the Holy Spirit just tearing me apart inside. Playtime is over. Time to go to work. So immediately I thought the Lord was speaking to me to get behind the pulpit right now.
Mm.
Go and preach. But I struggled with it. I emailed Pastor Wayne. "Hey, Pastor Wayne, please help me discern what the Lord has placed on my heart." And each and every day I was just crying. That was the most crying I ever done in such a short span. So within a week, Pastor Wayne had Pastor Dan Shima email me back to meet with me. And we met for breakfast twice. Pastor Dan flew in from California, had things at the church, but it worked out where I would have an opportunity to sit down with Pastor Dan. So both meetings, Pastor Dan can be my witness. We sat for breakfast to meet. I cried the whole time. "Pastor Dan, please help me. Help me discern what the Lord is." In the meantime, the Lord had lined me up with all these classes at New Hope. Life change, experiencing God. In the experiencing God class, I'm surveying the Bible. I was doing things that I never used to do. You know, I knew about God, but I didn't know him personally. Yeah, going back to 1985, I understood what Pastor Glenn Riggs put on my heart and led me and to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior and making my salvation solid, but I never walked it. And that's what I tell people today. There's a huge difference between walking the walk, which is basically like reading the word. Talking the talk is just like speaking the word. But to actually walk the talk, that's living it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to do more than just reading it, speaking it, but we got to live it. So fast forward, I ended up experiencing God, and there was a segment in there, part of the studies, that said, "Hey, equally important in praying and asking the Lord, you got to listen, you got to be still." So one of the exercises was go and walk, take a 30-minute walk or a jog, and just be with the Lord, have your quiet time. By then, I had already started my workout regimen with my daughters at Alamona Park. We used to walk Monday through Friday. And just up in that day, the Lord said, "Hey, on a Saturday, mind you, in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, go to Alamona Park." I'm like, "What? Go to Alamona Park. Lord, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's crowded, it's crazy. Just go." So I drove and went there. And the place that I would normally park by the exercise area, there was a stall open. So I parked my car and I said, "Oh, Lord, all right, I got you." I started to tear a little bit. "Lord, I'm surrendering all to you, Father God. I'm surrendering. Have your way with me." So I started my walk, and as I reached around Magic Island, as you reach the incline where you got the jetty where the surfers are just beyond the rock wall, there's a bench right there. And he told me to sit here. So as I approached the bench, my vision started to close in, but in a circle where I could see straight ahead was very clear, but the surrounding and the peripheral were kind of blurred out. And everything went silent. The park was packed. I could see kids screaming, kicking balls, but I couldn't hear them. So he said, "Sit down. Sit here." So I sat. Then all he told me was, "Look at my beauty." So I looked around, and mind you, I was just crying and crying. People were still walking past me, joggers running past me. I just sat there on a bench with my shades on, and I was gone. I was in a different sphere, if I could, basically in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then the word he said in closing was, "Pump your brakes. You're at where I want you." I said, "Lord, what do you mean? Pump your brakes. You're at where I want you." So I walked away with that in my mind. And then I didn't realize, Danny, what I do today in the police department, I'm the acting commander. It's not about rank, but I take my job seriously now that the Lord had revealed to me that what I'm doing is his ministry. I'm the acting commander for our peer support unit. I'm the counselor for officers and their families that go through traumatic situations, horrific situations, and God forbids, in the line of duty deaths especially. At that very time, within a 13-month span, that's when we lost 3 officers. And God led me to help their families, provide them with spiritual comfort, provide for their transportation needs, and just meet with them. And it's amazing that I've been with that unit 7 years now, and I didn't realize that was what I was doing. Because at the end of these counseling sessions, one or two things would happen. The Spirit would lead me to offer them, "Hey, do you want me to pray for you?" And 100% of the time, they say, "Yes, please, if you don't mind." in many cases, before they walk out, before I even ask, they'll say, "Hey, T, can you pray for us?" I say, "Amen. Amen. Let's pray." So that's where I'm at. And I'm very, very happy. I'm blessed. And the Lord had opened up my eyes. And recently, He has blessed me even more. We started a men's ministry at New Hope. Pastor Wayne and Pastor Rod Shimabukuro and Pastor John Tilton. And then through them, the blessing of the Lord, they allowed me to be the director of New Hope's men's ministry. We just started 3 Saturdays ago, every Saturday, 7 to 9. And then we also meet at Shopo every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And that's such a huge blessing at Shopo. We're approaching our 1 year. We started on November 13th of 2012. We started with 6 or 12 guys. Today, we average about 60 guys at the men's fellowship at Shopo. We've averaged, there's a few times that we went above 80. And then we had our first revival, which was in May. And then we just had a men's concert at the Shell that attracted about 1,000 men. So the vision the Lord has placed on my heart, along with that, in starting up a men's movement and a swell, I call it, is 50,000 God-fearing, God-loving men at the whole Aloha Stadium for Him. And I'm all in. I'm just, you know, walking in obedience and just listening and for that still voice. And Lord, it's yours. I surrender.
An example, someone who's not just reading the word, but who's living the word, and not just speaking the word, but living the word. A reminder for all of us, the importance of obedience. There is a unique peace that comes with it. Not a life of striving. I want more. I need more. I need to do more. A life of discontent and always feeling like you're lacking. But a life resolved at peace with God. I'm where God wants me to be, and God will use me now, here, where I am. And He'll do in and through my life what He so desires to do. I think perhaps Tenari Maafala might say the things that are taking place right now, perhaps he would not have even imagined that God would do those things. But because of simplicity and obedience and faithfulness. Oh, dear friend, as you listen today to dear Tenari Maafala, as he speaks about what his journey has been like, could it be that the Lord is tugging on your heart to say, hey, rest in me, be still,
amen,
and know that I am God. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, as Tenari has sat still before the Lord and let the Lord speak to him, and as the Lord has been growing and developing things, it's part of a dynamic journey. When we come back, you'll hear more of what that means to him and even what it could mean to you as the Lord speaks through him, through his life story, through moments of fear, drastic measures, times even of heartbreak, and how God works even through those times to grab hold of his heart with a loving, tender hand as he so desires to do in your life. In your heart today, what a difference it'll make for you personally and for your family and even those around you. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Tenari Maafala.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You ever been there? What I'm talking about is, you know, you're following the Lord and you say, hey, I'm a Christian. I'm gonna serve you, God. I'm gonna do this for you and do that for you. Have you ever been in a place where God has given you something to do and you see it very clearly and you go, okay, Lord, thank you. I got it from here. And you go on your own. You even manufacture even an anointing. You know what you should say and what you should do and you make it look really holy, but you know what? Sometimes we go so far, it's very carnal. We're doing it all on our own strength. And that's why we need reminders from time to time, and the Lord will send certain people who are at rest in who they are in Christ and understand a different level of spiritual maturity, as I would say, to let God do it through them. Not, God, I'm going to do this for you, but Lord, here I am. Have your way in and through me. And work in your way and in your time. There's a peace there. And you know what? There's a power that's there that is from God and not our own. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Our guest today, Tanari Maafala, who is in that place in his life, resting in the Lord, as the Lord does marvelous, magnanimous things in his life. If you're tuning in right now, you want to get this, you certainly want to get this program in its entirety. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com for the podcast, a free podcast, and we have that and other resources, other programs, other features that you, I believe, will be encouraged, inspired, and as you listen, as you spend time there, pass it on. The Lord will maybe whisper somebody to you that you should share it with. Go ahead and send it. Post it on Facebook or Twitter or send it as an email link so that they also can be encouraged and inspired. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Tanari, what is it that the Lord has placed upon your heart at this particular time in your life?
Well, the message is to all our churches, to all the God-loving, God-fearing men, women, and child. You know, an example that I use, and I'll speak from the heart and with love, this whole issue with the same-sex marriage, that movement obviously has drawn the line in the sand as to where they stand and what they're trying to impose on not only our beliefs, but our lifestyle. The biggest problem I see is when our churches itself are drawing the line in the sand between churches. We're so blessed as children of God, as servants of God, that God has given us the churches that we have today. The church has got to recognize that it's not a church thing. It's not a New Hope thing. It's not a Hope Chapel thing. It's not a One Love Ministry thing. It's not a Word of Life thing. It's a God thing. So it's fine time that we Christians got to come out of the closet. One heart, one soul, one mind for one God. It is clear in the Bible that we all are a part of the body of Christ. Churches, buildings that we talk about is just structures. The body of Christ, the church, is that the people, the servants of God, one head, Jesus Christ. So I encourage all the churches, the listeners out there, please, if you love God, it's not a church thing. It's a God thing from the start to the end. And we're just so privileged and so thankful for the opportunity that God has given us to receive his love, mercy, and grace so freely, and to also be used for this opportunity that the Lord has given us to be the vessels to go out and reach the multitudes to learn about God's love and God's grace.
As a voice for police officers, and now in this capacity that you shared earlier, in crisis moments, you minister to officers and their families. Tonight, take us into the world of an officer. What do they go through? What does a police officer deal with in the line of duty that perhaps most people don't understand?
Well, first and foremost, what I always tell people that they need to understand that behind every badge is a human being. It's a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, granddaughter, a cousin. We're humans too. So first and foremost, we make mistakes. We do. But in order to really see what our state that we come to know, the true paradise, you really have to see it through the eyes of a police officer. It's really ugly out there. People don't see a lot of those things. They don't hear a lot of those things that the officers have to endure. And the one thing that I always tell people, one of the most challenging things that we police officers face is when we have to stand up for the rights of victims. And at times, yes, our emotion get the better of us, especially when we're dealing with our kupuna, who have worked so hard all those years to have their values, their prized possessions taken from them, albeit through a robbery, a burglary, or a theft, and then to be assaulted, or even sexually assaulted, we as police officers are human, that we take it personal in a sense. So yes, sometimes enforcing the law can be overly excessive. We try to encourage our officers to be mindful that we gotta have self-control and not allow those types of things to get the better of us, where we use excessive force and now the officer is now being investigated for standing up for the rights of a victim. So we understand that. Going to one extreme is when officers have to make a split-second decision to take a life, to save a life. In 1999, I was faced with that right here at Merritt Housing, when I stood in the middle of the street with a, God bless that young man's soul. When I was awakened, you know, it was a stroke of midnight, New Year's. We know how Hawaii is. It's almost like a war zone, especially at Merritt Housing. So I was awakened by my sister, say, hey, there's a gang member out there touting a gun out there and shooting rounds off at the kids. And mind you, Merritt Housing, hundreds of children and adults running around in the street playing fireworks. So long story short, I went out there and identified myself, and individual shot at me twice. I returned fire twice, and he's no longer here today. So I live with the scar of taking that young man's life. I feel for his family. But on the flip side of it, you know, I've experienced through my years as a police officer, having lost my best friends in the line of duty. When I think back, that any one of those two rounds that this individual shot at me could have easily ended my life, then who would be the one to take care of my wife and my three daughters? To this very day, as a peer counselor, you know, I've lost two of my best friends in the helicopter crash in 1995 at Haula, when two of my best friends were up in a chopper trying to find a lost hiker, and the chopper went down. To this very day, I go to luau's, parties with the survivors of these two of my best friends, And I feel so guilty because I see the million miles stare in their faces when I walk in. And I can only imagine, not saying that's what they're thinking, but that's how I think. I'm thinking for them because I love them and I care for them. Oh, Uncle T, where's my dad? You know? So those are the challenges that we as officers face every day. We take the pain of victims that we face. You know, we talk about fatalities. People are very quick to criticize officers. Why it takes so long for a fatality investigation? My simple response to that is, wouldn't you want us to give your family the best? God forbids it happens to your family, but if it does, wouldn't you want the best service to make sure that every T, every I has been dotted and crossed? To make sure that your family, again, God forbids, but that's the reality. So some of, if not all, our officers, one time of their career, will see that and go home with those images. I've been at an accident scene where it was an infant, 3 years old, and the baby was decapitated, and portions of the body was dismembered. So those are the images. Having three daughters of my own, I take that home. But I don't put that on my family. That's something that I have to process internally and be ready to go back to work the next day.
How do you process? How does an officer process these things and then live a sane life?
Right.
It would seem like it would, you know, repeated process and then the uncertainty of what you're going to see today or tomorrow or next week. How do you maintain sanity?
Well, I thank God for the peer support unit of which I'm assigned to right now. Part of what we do, not only as trained and certified emotional counselors, but I oversee six chaplains. The chaplains fall under my command. And we have varying chaplains from various denominations because there's laws out there that we cannot promote our respective denomination. But from a spiritual standpoint, that really helps. And then to have officers like myself and other officers that are certified who have been through that before. So I thank God for this program that our police chiefs have adopted and believe. Because when we first came in back in 1989, we just caught the tail end of the old school mindset, which was, hey, suck it up and get back out on the road. So what if you saw a dead body or, you know, and so forth and so on? Get back out there. Young policemen, get back out there. But thank God today that the message that we sent out today, it's not a sign of weakness to be vulnerable. I would be so concerned if our officers' hearts were callous, that they wouldn't care. So that's the message that we give them. Hey, it's okay for you to cry. It's okay for you to speak up. Because one of the healing tools that we share is just that. Just the mere fact that you're vulnerable and that you're opening up and being willing to be transparent for the sake of the officer on your right and on the left that's listening, that went through the same thing as you did, that now we can share that, hey, you know what? Okay, I got this. I'm okay. And I told him, yeah. The day you tell me that you don't care, then you got some serious problems. We're all humans, so we got to definitely have the heart and the compassion for our fellow human beings. The same applies to those in the criminal element, those that commit the crimes, that we got to be very compassionate for them as well. Life is about choices. Good choices, obviously, you reap the benefits. Bad choices, you suffer the consequences. But at the end of the day, we control the choices that we make. So I encourage the officers to, it's okay. A sign of weakness, it's not a sign of weakness when you come into peer support. It's a sign of strength that you recognize that the burden on your shoulder is too heavy for you, that you go home, it might affect your family, but you here you are seeking help. That's a sign of strength for a man and a woman.
Along those same lines, when we come back in our closing segment, I'd like to talk a little bit about the family life of a police officer. Let's go there. Okay. Can we go there?
Sure.
Let's go there. Talk about that. One of the unique things that you have, and you're in a position. You're a voice, like I said, but a voice because of the mixing of grace that God has given you, of compassion, of understanding, and an ability to clearly articulate what people are going through and a principle, a thought, an idea in a way that brings comfort, direction, hope, all those things. And that's one of the reasons I'm grateful that we have you here with us today. Tanari Maafala is our guest. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, yes. What is it that the families of police officers, what is it like to be a child, a son or daughter of a dad who is an officer, or a mom who is a police officer? What is it like at home? What are common things that families whose dad or mom, and in some cases maybe both, are police officers? Take us into their world, Tanari. Mm-hmm. Give us understanding. Give us more compassion in the Lord. We'll be back with Tanari Maafala.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Tanari Maafala. Tanari, the world of, or the family of a police officer, what's it like?
It's very hard. You know, first and foremost, a profession that's very honorable and that we're thankful for. And it's such a prestigious job, you know, if you do it right as you're supposed to. For the families, you know, like anything else, I mean, I shouldn't say anything else, but for police officers, it's always behind the mind of our spouses that when we walk out the door, you never know if you're coming back. So that's why we tell the recruits early on, you know, to make sure that you take care of your family. Do everything that you need to do to take care of your family, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And, of course, financially, that's the latter part. You know, that's the one thing that I encourage the recruits who, when I do give my session for the new recruits, if you're here for this job, for the money, then get out. You shouldn't be a policeman. You want to be a police officer because it's an honor to serve those that, for the most part, are strangers. The state of Hawaii is small, but it's big in a way that you don't know everybody. So if you're here for the money, get out. You don't need to be a police officer. But if you're here for the honor and the prestige to serve a stranger and to share a heart of compassion, then you're in the right place. You're the right candidate. People outside can say, oh, being a police officer is just a job. Well, I'm here to argue that it's not. It takes a special person to do what we do as police officers. There are good days and there are worse days. The good days, obviously, when you can make somebody's day brighter, when you've returned their property or saved their lives. And saving lives is almost a daily thing for our police officers. So, yeah, for our police officers' families, they never know when their loved one walks out the door if they'll ever come back. So we encourage our officers to be open, not to share the specific details of your workday, but to encourage them that it was okay. You can share peripheral because obviously it'll be on the news, but you don't need to share the horrific details of what you saw, the gory details, you know, with blood and dismemberment and so forth. But also teach them safety and understand the importance of safety. And that's pretty much in a nutshell for the families.
Tenari, can you pray, please?
Amen. Oh, honored. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, I've come before you with a humble heart and a yearning heart. I thank you first and foremost, Father, for your love and mercy and grace that you give so freely. For you first loved us, Father. I thank you for Danny here, Father God. I thank you for the blessing and anointing that you've given him in this vehicle, that he's so blessed to touch so many lives, Father, for one purpose only. And that's to honor, praise, and glorify you, Heavenly Father. Father God, I lift up the family of all police officers and all police officers alike. Yes. Father, yes, it takes a special person. And even your Bible, it says, Father, for blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I pray that beyond police officers' families and our communities, that there are so many more peacemakers out there, Father, that they all are children of God. So, Father God, I thank you for your love and unconditional love as evident in giving your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, who sacrificed his life, Father, that every man, woman, and child has been given eternal life. Father God, I just thank you again for all that you've done and continue to do for our police officers and their families, and we continue to ask for your blessing and your guidance and your covering as they continue to go and serve others. Father, for you said it yourself that blessed are those who honor you by putting the needs of others first, and that's what we seek to do. So, Father, I pray for courage. I pray for peace for the families as they await the return of their loved ones. Father, in general, I just pray for the people of Hawaii and beyond the shores of Hawaii, Father God, that you continue to stir our hearts, Father, to convict our hearts each and every day, that we seek you first. We seek your will, your purpose, according to your way. Father God, for the unspoken, for those who are seeking healing, for those who are seeking financial relief, for those who are seeking for strongholds to be broken, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ that it is done, Father. For you yourself, Father, has said it is done. For he who has been set free is free indeed, Father, and it is finished. Mm-hmm. So, Father God, we give you all the honor, glory, and praise, and we'll continue to seek your will, your purpose, according to your way and not ours. So, Father God, crush our will and let your will be done. We love you, Father God, and we humbly pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen. That's a prayer from Tenari Maofala, calling on the Lord for you, dear one. Oh, how we love you, and oh, how God loves you. Tenari, thank you for being with us today, and it's been a real blessing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. I hope that you have been moved. I believe you have, by these special moments with Tenari Maofala. God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ, as Tenari has, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there. And to help us with your financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Tenari Maofala. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, our guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you.
The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.